Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, how you doing? How are you? How you feeling about the state of the nation? We have the debate tonight, the election. If you're on Facebook Live, you'll see I got my I voted early sticker today. It was very sanitized environment. And it's the first time in my adult life I've voted early. But like I mentioned the other day, a little birdie that's highly placed, very godly person, one of the godliest people I know, actually, and warned that here in North Carolina, anyway, there was a chance that our governor, using COVID-19, might actually try to restrict or even cancel Election Day. Now, that normally would sound crazy, right? But it's 2020, and here in North Carolina, one of the most locked down states in the nation, Governor Cooper, I'm not going to take anything off the table at this point. So this particular person is not given to conspiracy theories or fearful kind of predictions or predictions at all. But also because of the stature of this person, it really kind of rocked me when they told me. So I took it seriously. So for the first time in my adult life today, I went and voted early. If you have any interest in knowing who I voted for, you can go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com. I'll also keep putting it up on Facebook. And you can see my entire list. I took my own list in with me and used that to vote today because there's no way you can remember everything. And then for those of you in North Carolina, this is important to know. Many times in the past with judges and stuff, thanks to my buddy Jimmy Branch, thanks for the reminder, that there's really only one, I think there's only one thing on the ballot that I did. There was only one office that was nonpartisan where they didn't list the party affiliation. But all the other offices, they list the party affiliation. So if you're like, man, I don't know who I'm going to vote. I know who I'd vote for at the top of the ticket, but I get confused with all the rest of the stuff. I don't know what to do. If you're a straight party voter, then you'll know what to do because it's there. It's right there on the ballot. Okay, so if that's kind of a deterrent to you or confusing to you, don't let it be, and you can go check that out for yourself. So earlier today at a pastor's lunch, Dan Forrest was there, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest was there, and Rob McCoy has been on the show before from Thousand Oaks, God Speaks, Calvary Chapel, Thousand Oaks, California. He's one of the pastors out there that opened their church back up and has been battling the government ever since. So he gave an impassioned talk to this full of pastors at Faith Church today. And by the way, at our Faith Church tomorrow is the Evangelicals for Trump event. I should be live there tomorrow, God willing. And in the first segment of the show, we're going to have Eric Trump. Now, he has to leave there at 4 o'clock. The event starts at 3:30. He's got to leave. I think it's 3 or 3:30. He's got to leave and head to the airport. So he's going to get on the phone. That's the plan right now. So we'll talk to Eric Trump in the first segment of tomorrow's show. But that's also tomorrow at RFA Church. And if you don't have a chance to register, they are saying people can just show up. There'll be, there'll be security there. Secret Service has already been there. So, you know, they're ready for those kind of strange things that can happen again. Unfortunately, it's 2020. So that's what's going on. So anyway, he was talking about and read from a letter that I'll read to you that an exchange he had with a mega church in California that you would absolutely know. I'm not going to release that information. He asked me not to say that yet. But there's that. So I want to take you through that as we talk about pastors and politics today. I want to take you through that. And then another friend, thanks Cindy, made me aware of an article that just came out from John Piper that floored me, called Policies, Persons, and Paths to Ruin, Pondering the Implications of the 2020 Election. And I was like reading through this going, what? I mean, over and over again, there's that. Okay. But let me start with this because there's a very dangerous movement in America amongst some of these major, major pastors and people of influence that are so caught up in the political divisiveness. They don't like the divisiveness. They don't like the divisiveness it causes in the church. And I'm not saying I like it, but it does happen. Okay. And so our number one goal is not to calm the waters. Our number one goal is to preach the truth and to live out the truth as much as we can, as imperfectly as we all do, myself chief amongst them. But Let me just take you through this because we have to be more and more discerning all the time now. Things are getting darker. They're getting more deceptive. They're getting more confusing. And that's true inside the church, not just the culture. Okay. So this is Timothy Keller recently on Twitter. So I'm just going to read through this. Christians and the freedom of conscience in politics. The Bible binds my conscience to care for the poor, but it does not tell me the best practical way to do it. Any particular strategy, high taxes and government services versus low taxes and private charity, may be good and wise, and maybe even somewhat inferred from other things that the Bible teaches, but they are not directly commanded, and therefore we cannot insist that all Christians, as a matter of conscience, follow one or the other. The Bible binds my conscience to love the immigrant, but it doesn't tell me how many legal immigrants to admit to the U.S. every year. It does not exactly prescribe immigration policy. The current political parties offer a potpourri of different positions on these and many other topics, most of which, as just noted, the Bible does not speak to directly. Okay, so he's saying there are some areas where, should we help the poor? Yes. How do you do that, politically speaking, from a biblical worldview? Okay, of course, you could talk about taxes and stealing and stuff like that, but I'm just tracking with where Timothy Keller's going here right now. Okay, and I understand that. Immigration. Okay, we know we need to love the immigrant, we need to care for the immigrant, but he's saying, but the policies of that, political policies, okay, hold on, because there's some nuance there, and we can discuss that, okay? So we can agree on the principle, but maybe disagree on the process. And so that's what he's talking about. This means when it comes to taking political positions, voting, determining alliances, and political involvement, the Christian has liberty of conscience. Now, I actually don't believe that, and you know where I'm going to go with this on the life issue, but I continue. Christians cannot say to other Christians, no Christian can vote for blank, or every Christian must vote for blank, unless you can find a biblical command to that effect. Some folks are missing the point of this thread. Listen, the Bible tells me that abortion is a sin and great evil, but it doesn't tell me the best way to decrease or end abortion in this country, nor which policies are most effective. All right, so here's where I draw the line, because is Timothy Keller saying that it's okay that with the right hand of fellowship, the right hand of a Christian, you dismember and kill babies in the womb, and with the left hand, you figure out ways to do sex ed and provide more counseling and work on adoption services, so it's both? That's kind of what he said. The Bible tells me that abortion is a sin and a great evil, but it doesn't tell me the best way to decrease or end abortion in this country, nor which policies are most effective. Hey, Tim. Hey, Mr. Keller, Pastor Tim. I'll finish that thought when we come back right after this. 'Cause you want more. All right, welcome back. Theology Thursday, talking about pastors and politics. I wanted to open up the phones and ask you, Pastor, if you wanted to call in and share, any of you that are pastors, but I just want to get through this, so I don't want to do that right now. Maybe another day we'll do it. But I'm going through this Tim Keller thing, and he's talking about, hey, there's things like immigration and how do you help the poor that we can disagree on policies and how to get there. Then he gets to abortion, okay? Now I'm really fired up here, okay? So I'm trying to show this man who is fighting for his life right now. He's got pancreatic cancer and a man who's has done amazing things for the kingdom. Okay, I respect that. I honor that. But this one's so off. So here we are. His last point on this Twitter thread. And I have some comments about this, then we'll move on. Some folks are missing the point of this thread. The Bible tells me that abortion is a sin and great evil, but it doesn't tell me the best way to decrease or end abortion in this country, nor which policies are most effective. Here's the policy that's pretty effective, Pastor Keller. Don't kill babies. Don't legalize the murder of babies. One party says that's fine and we'll fund it and protect it and champion it. And when they offer us the Margaret Sanger Award, who is a eugenics nightmare, satanic emissary who wanted to eliminate the black race amongst others, and you get that Margaret Sanger Award, Hillary Clinton, and you're so enthusiastic about it and say that Margaret Sanger was one of your heroes. And then Barack Obama, a Democrat, former president, gives a speech to Planned Parenthood and says, God bless Planned Parenthood. What? Hey, Pastor Tim, you want to know what policy is most effective for ending abortion? Don't legalize it. You want to know which party is against the legalization of abortion? Republicans. Sorry that you have to deal with the orange man named Donald Trump, But that's true. That's the orthodoxy and the orthopraxy of the Republican Party. That's in the document. That's in the party platform, as well as in what they do. Do they do that perfectly? No. Have they disappointed me massively? Yes. But they still do things for life and against abortion. The Democrat Party is the complete opposite. You're acting like Tim Keller's acting like there's a choice here. And there isn't. There is no choice. If you're a pro-life, serious, convictional Christian, there's no... Listen, I'm in this conversation with young people where they just don't see this as the hill to die on. They're pro-life. And they're uncomfortable with the fact that some of the people they vote for are pro-choice. But they're willing to go there. I personally don't understand that from a conscience perspective. I don't understand that. How do you, if your vote is a talent, and it is, in the parable of the talents, and Jesus tells that parable, what do you do with what you've been given? Well, in the United States of America, your vote is like a talent. You invest it, right? Because unfortunately, in our country, the federal government, the state government, and the local government are pretty much affecting all of our neighbors, whether they're in the womb or close to the tomb, dying from COVID in the retirement center, or just going to school. Okay, they're all your neighbors. Pretty much everybody gets affected by the government. So I say we have to engage and pray and vote and engage as much as possible in governance, because that's a good way to love your neighbor, to try to bring more of God's truth into the public arena, the ecclesia, the public square. And sit there and go, Tim, you don't have a choice on the abortion issue, but it doesn't tell me the best way to decrease or end abortion. Do you think it says thou shalt not murder? Is that in there? Did I pick up the wrong Bible or something? Yeah, that's in there. That's absolutely, absolutely inexcusable. Okay? Let me get rid of that before it catches on fire. Okay, Rob McCoy, my buddy, Pastor Rob McCoy from Thousand Oaks, California. He's one of the pastors out there that said, forget you, Gavin Newsom. What do you call him? Mussolini. Somebody said that, Mussolini. That was funny. So he gets into a letter exchange, Pastor Rob, with a mega church in California that you would know. You'd know the church, you'd know the pastor. But I did not have permission to tell you that. Okay, so I'm honoring that. I'm not going to say it. So they're in a letter back and forth because he's challenging other pastors. Why are you guys bowing the knee to Governor Newsom and not opening your church, staying closed down? So somebody from this particular church said, we are not a political church. We do take the safety of our members in the community very seriously, and out of love and concern, we are not meeting in a large group for weekend services, okay? Romans 13, we're supposed to bow the knee to the government no matter what, apparently. And this was Pastor Rob's reply. I recognize the choice that blank church made was out of love and concern, but you cannot say you are not political. Politics is the highest form of community in that it combines morality and sociability. Those pastors who have chosen to fully open their churches deeply love their communities and congregants and are also very concerned for the health and safety of your communities, just like you are. So you mean we can actually like walk and chew gum at the same time? I'm adding that. Yes, we can. Back to Pastor Rob. However, to say you are not political is not accurate. You have chosen to politically stand by your silence and submission with tyrannical officials who have ruined our economy, closed our schools, divided our people between essential and non-essential, and declared our churches as non-essential. You stated that your church has weathered the financial storm, but don't lose sight of the fact that those draconian actions by our state governments, talking about California here, have financially destroyed many other congregations, and they will never reopen. This church is so big, by the way, they probably don't have to worry about this at all, and I wouldn't be surprised if they got some PPP money. You marched with BLM Inc., even though their actions resulted in innocent citizens losing everything they own, and 75% of the businesses in Los Angeles that were burned and looted were Jewish-owned and targeted. How can you say you're not political? They're political by their inactivity and their activity. Okay, that's his point. The pastors that have opened their churches are maligned and ridiculed, and you have said nothing in their defense, and yet in love and great concern for their communities, these churches stand against a tyrannical government that has forced their neighbors' businesses into bankruptcy, forces the abused in their communities to be quarantined with their abusers, force their elderly to die alone, all while these government officials receive full paychecks provided by your punished neighbors whose taxes are the highest in the nation. These churches have been fined and shuttered, and yet you complicitly stand with these tyrannical politicians and their views and actions as being acceptable for a virus that isn't even calculated like every other virus in our nation's history, but instead is measured by who has contracted it. That's why I talk about here for you on Facebook Live. See this? Hey, Facebook, you want to delete my account or something because I'm holding up CDC information? All right. He's talking about how deadly it isn't. Serious? Yes. Heartbreaking for those who have died? Yes. Deadly overall? Well, not when the average survival rate between 1 and 69 is about 99.7%. That's what he's talking about. You are complicit with our governor who continues to trample small businesses of California with shifting impossible metrics to reopen, all while the state's homeless population and poverty rates now lead the entire nation. Politically blank, consentingly and silently waits downstream, he's talking about the church, to collect the human heartache they help create by complying to this government malfeasance. You are political even if you choose to think you are not. But your inactivity in this country operates in the political realm. People would say that. Other people say that too. Jesus didn't say anything about politics. Listen, every time Jesus opened his mouth, especially in Jerusalem and especially in the temple, he was upsetting this little cozy political arrangement between the Jewish leadership and Rome. He's messing up everything. So he was a political figure because he was speaking into the world that was involved with politics. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll pick it up and move to John Piper when we come back, if I'm still alive. So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Theology Thursday, going down the road of pastors in politics. Started out talking about Tim Keller and a series of tweets he had where apparently he's okay giving his vote to the Democrat Party at some level. We can discuss and not agree on immigration policy. Okay. We can discuss and not agree on policy for welfare, how to help the poor. Okay. But on abortion, maybe the best way to end it or deal with it or lessen it, all that stuff's negotiable, which when you read all that in context, he's like, so you can't exactly say to a Christian that you got a big problem if you vote for people that are pro-choice. Really? And like, what's the best way to end abortion? How about not legalize it, protect it, fund it, champion it, and coddle up to it? How about that? There's one party that does, and there's one party that doesn't. Sorry, Pastor Tim, but that's black and white. Black and white. Then I read the letter from Pastor Rob McCoy, who's been on the show before. He's a good friend. He was here in Raleigh today, actually, at a pastor's event to a mega church in California, saying, we're not a political church. But by kowtowing or staying silent or getting it wrong, like Pastor Tim, you're affecting the political realm for your thousands and thousands and thousands of that church's size of people that go to the church. So you're political, whether you think you aren't or not. And then there's this. I just got this a little while ago and read it. And I was like, oh, okay. let's work through this, okay? Let's work through this. John Piper, who's now retired, and I want to say that's good based on this, but, and I've there's a lot of things about Piper I like, okay? So it's not like I get on here and just go ballistic because it's fun for me. It isn't. Policies, persons, and paths to ruin, pondering the implications of the 2020 election. This article is probably as close as you'll ever get to an answer on how I will vote in the upcoming presidential election. Probably right. Only God knows what may happen in the next days. Nothing I say here is intended to dictate how anyone else should vote. Da, 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 da. All right, here's what I highlighted. So let's talk about this. Actually, John Piper writes, this is a long overdue article attempting to explain why I remain baffled that so many Christians consider the sins of unrepentant sexual immorality, porneia, unrepentant boastfulness, alzoneia, unrepentant vulgarity, aishrologia, unrepentant factitiousness, dicostasia, and the like to be only toxic for our nation, while policies that endorse baby killing, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialistic overreach are viewed as deadly. The reason I put those Greek words in parentheses, which I mangled a little bit, is to give a graphic reminder that these are sins mentioned in the New Testament. To be more specific, they are sins that destroy people. They are not just deadly, they are deadly forever. They lead to eternal destruction, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. They destroy persons, Acts 12, and through persons they destroy nations, Jeremiah 48 and Jeremiah 42. Okay, here's kind of what he's doing here. He's setting up that there's people that endorse policies about baby killing, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialistic overreach, and we call those deadly. But the other things, unrepentant sexual immorality, unrepentant boastfulness, unrepentant vulgarity, and unrepentant factitiousness, or not being honest, are only toxic. He's saying, no, those are deadly, and they're deadly forever. You know, as opposed to abortion, which is only deadly, I guess, in the moment that you kill the baby. All right, so this is what he's doing now. You can kind of see where he's going here. He's singling out Donald Trump based on Donald Trump's, according to John Piper, unrepentant sexual immorality. How does he know that, by the way, right now? Unrepentant boastfulness. Okay, yeah, he's boastful. Unrepentant vulgarity, as he tend to speak, kind of, yeah. Unrepentant factitiousness, not always telling the truth. Okay, toxic versus these other things that are deadly. No, he's saying the first list, the Trump list, is deadly too, and deadly forever. As opposed to just killing a baby, I suppose. All right, then he kind of breaks it out. Persons. The New Testament teaches that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, and that those who practice such things deserve to die. That's Galatians 5 and Romans 1. To which you might say, so what? Rejecting Jesus as Lord also leads to death, but you're willing to vote for a non-Christian, aren't you? I am, John Piper writes, assuming there is enough overlap between biblical and uprightness and the visible outworking of his character and convictions. My point so far is simply to raise the stakes of what is outwardly modeled in leadership so that Christians are given pause. It is not a small thing to treat lightly the pattern of public behaviors that lead to death. So what he's essentially saying is, act like bad Trump, go to hell. And the point he's going to make here in a second is that Trump's leadership in these four areas is making the country follow him down that road. So he's making everybody more vulgar, more sexually promiscuous, more boastful, more given to lie. He's leading the country down that road. And because of that, he's leading them directly into hell. So what John Piper is saying here is Donald Trump is a anti-evangelist. Okay, that's what he's saying. In fact, now he's talking about nations. I think it is a drastic mistake to think that the deadly influences of a leader come only through his policies and not also through his person. See his point? Okay, the policies are one thing, but his personality, that can lead to deadly consequences too. By the way, John, Pastor John, every person that chooses to act like Trump makes that choice on their own. Trump's not making anybody, none of us, you're not making me act like a jerk or do this or do that. I make that decision on my own. That's why I'm held accountable for my sins, and that's why the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Well, Donald Trump made me this way, Lord, so I get a free card. No, you don't. You made that choice. Don't blame Donald Trump. This is true not only because flagrant boastfulness, vulgarity, immorality, and factitiousness are self-incriminating, but also because they are nation-corrupting. Boy, he's given Trump way more credit and power than he actually has. They move out from centers of influence to infect whole cultures. So Donald Trump single-handedly is doing this to America. That's Piper's point. The last 5 years bear vivid witness to this infection at almost every level of society. Hey, Pastor John, let me tell you something. Donald Trump is just a reflection of where the country's at. Have you watched television? Do you see Netflix? Do you ever look at social media? This country was vulgar, fictitious, licentious, all this other stuff before Donald Trump came along. Okay? Now, the divisiveness of Donald Trump, now we're all down on it more. But we make that decision. Trump doesn't make that decision for me. This truth is not uniquely Christian. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, 1 Corinthians, and bad company ruins good morals, 1 Corinthians. Like hanging out with people that, I don't know, defend the killing of babies, the restructuring of human sexuality, the changing of gender, stuff like that. Man. There is a character connection between rulers and subjects. When the Bible describes a king by saying he sinned and made Israel to sin, it does not mean that he twisted their arm. It means his influence shaped the people. That's the calling of a leader. Take the lead in giving shape to the character of your people so it happens for good or for ill. Yes. Well, what about Joe Biden's leadership? Are you considering that? Joe Biden's leadership, which would appear to be, at this point, laden with about 30 years of corruption and what looks to be like a crime family, and championing the murder of children And now he's all for the sex reassignment surgery decision of an 8 or 9 year old. That came up in an interview recently. What about that? Of course, we can't bring that up. He's got to deal with an orange guy, right? Policies and persons. Okay. Let's keep going. Is it not baffling, then, that so many Christians seem to be sure that they are saving human lives and freedoms by treating as minimal the destructive effects of the spreading gangrene of high-profile, high-handed, culture-shaping sin? Boy, he's pretty much giving Donald Trump credit for all the misbehavior of everybody in America, but especially you deplorable people, you Republicans, or you Christians that are going to vote for Trump or voted for him like I did earlier today. Okay, oh yeah, that's my fault. Right. Therefore, Christians communicate a falsehood to unbelievers who are also baffled. I'm so sick of that. Hey, if you voted for Donald Trump, what kind of Christian are you? You just completely destroyed your witness. Hey, let me just remind everybody, darkness and light don't get along well together. People reject Christ and the church and the Bible and the gospel because their deeds are dark and they don't want to be exposed. Go reread the New Testament. You don't have to go very far. So people are going to give all kinds of reasons and excuses and justifications for rejecting you, your church, evangelicals, and the gospel, and ultimately Jesus himself. I did that for years. I'll give all kinds, a bunch of hypocrites, blah, 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 science, blah, 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 whatever. You hate homosexuals, blah, 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 blah. People's deeds are dark and they don't want to go to the light. Nobody likes to be judged. And like in all of this, where's John 6:44? Nobody comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. So Donald Trump is keeping people out of the kingdom? No, people keep themselves out of the kingdom. They know they're sinners. Romans 1, Romans 3, Romans 6. But they refuse. Therefore, Christians communicate falsehood to unbelievers who are also baffled when they act as if policies and laws that protect life and freedom are more precious than being a certain kind of person. They are. John, they are more precious. Killing babies does not rise to the same level of egregiousness as a sin as being boastful. One has way bigger impact than the other. Yes, one sin's enough to separate you from God forever. One sin. That's why the Bible talks about if you're guilty of one, you might as well be guilty of them all, because it only takes one. So in effect, if you have one or a million, you're still separated. Okay, the church is paying dearly and will continue to pay for our communicating this falsehood year after year. More about that when we come back. This is Steve Noble. Taking a little advice from Facebook Live. Hey, Steve, take a breath. Thanks, Mr. and Mrs. Thompson. Breathe, Steve, breathe. I'm breathing. Okay, praise God. One day this will all be a distant memory. And we'll think about stuff from the past, because I believe that, you know, we don't have a memory wipe. But everything from our past, and when we're in the presence of the Lord, will be used to glorify God. Nothing. We're not going to stare at sin and blah, blah, blah. But all this stuff will just eventually glorify God and praise the Lord for it. And where we're divided in many ways right now inside the body of Christ, for those of us that are real believers, born-again Christians, we'll get our perfect unity. It's coming. It's coming, and won't that be nice? So praise the Lord for that. Theology Thursday today, just talking about pastors and politics, started with Timothy Keller, then talked about a megachurch in California that you would definitely know, as well as the pastor, with Rob McCoy, who's a Calvary Chapel pastor up in Thousand Oaks, California. He's one of the pastors that reopened his church and defying government out there. And now we're talking about this John Piper article that just came out, Policies, Persons, and Paths to Ruin, saying Donald Trump's character flaws are just as deadly to this nation as policies, you know, like killing babies. So being boastful is just as dangerous to America as, I don't know, 60 million dead babies. And we drive over the streets under which there's sewers that run with the blood of the unborn. But Trumpy and mean, it's all the same thing, right? Apparently. Back to the end of his article, he's talking about policies and persons. The justifications for ranking the destructive effects of persons below the destructive effects of policies ring hollow. So here's what he's saying to all of you, well, me too. If I'm willing to, I acknowledge all of Trump's character flaws, okay? Yet I also acknowledge all of his policy and administration accomplishments. By the way, I put something up on Facebook today. Hold that thought. I put something up on Facebook today. This just came out. A friend of mine last night, thanks, Don, sent this to me. The New York Times did an op-ed with one of their folks to fact check. Have you seen that list of 123 accomplishments of the Trump administration? So the New York Times decides they're going to fact check all 123. It's one particular writer. They did it as an op-ed. So the New York Times fact checks this list of 123 accomplishments. Well, how do you think that went, by the way? How do you think that went? Well, let me tell you how it went. Out of 123 Trump accomplishments, the New York Times, and I put this link up on my Facebook pages, the New York Times found that 89.4% of them are true. 110 out of 123. Just 4% or just 3.2% were false. And 7.4% were sort of misleading, or Congress had something to do with it. It wasn't just Trump. But 89.4% of these 123 Trump administration accomplishments, the New York Times said, is true. Huh? Does that, I mean, that's so 2020, isn't it? That the New York Times does that? So go look at that on Facebook. I put it up on Facebook, both my Facebook pages, personal as well as the radio show one. Okay, what about abortion? Okay, thanks for getting to this, Pastor John. Where does the wickedness of defending child killing come from? It comes from hearts of self-absorbed arrogance and boasting, James 4. It comes from the hearts that are insubordinate to God. In other words, it comes from the very character that so many Christian leaders are treating as comparatively innocuous because they think Roe and SCOTUS and Planned Parenthood are more pivotal, more decisive battlegrounds. Battlegrounds versus what? He's talking about Trump's character, okay? I think Roe is an evil decision, Pastor John writes. I think Planned Parenthood is a code name for baby killing and, historically at least, ethnic cleansing. I appreciate his directness here. He's totally right. And I think it's baffling and presumptuous to assume that pro-abortion policies kill more people than a culture-saturating pro-self-pride. What? Huh? Show for me, John, how acting like Donald Trump kills, will kill, 850,000 people this year in America. Show me that. Show me how that works. Because that's what he just basically said. I think it's baffling and presumptuous to assume that pro-abortion policies kill more people than a culture-saturating pro-self-pride. I don't get it. When a leader models self-absorbed, self-exalting boastfulness, he's talking about Trump, he models the most deadly behavior in the world. Now he's talking about, he started his article saying, all these are things, this type of behavior is what leads to eternal death. Correct. Outside of repentance, those behaviors and others, just like if you have an abortion and you're unrepentant and you never come to Christ about that sin and all the other ones, then that amongst all your other ones will separate you from God forever in hell. Okay? But that's not the only sin. And by the way, ladies, that's not an unforgivable sin. And guys too, abortion isn't an unforgivable sin. The power of Jesus' blood is even more powerful than the spilt blood of children. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome news. So back to Piper here. When a leader models self-absorbed, self-exalting boastfulness, he models the most deadly behavior in the world. He points his nation to destruction, destruction of more kinds than we can imagine. He's talking about people going to hell. So people are going to hell because Donald Trump models some bad behavior. Even though, like Sarah said on Facebook Live, the guy doesn't drink or do drugs. Does anybody give him any credit for that, by the way? I don't think so. It is naive to think that a man can be effectively pro-life and manifest consistently the character traits that lead to death, temporal and eternal. So he just can't justify the two. He cannot work through the difficult sides of Donald Trump's past and present, and now mostly just the way he communicates and how he treats people. Okay? He just can't handle it. I'm like, how do you handle it with anybody? There's none righteous. No, not one. You hold all of us up, including John Piper, to the perfect holiness of God, and we're all scumbags. Me, the most. Total reprobate scumbag compared to the holiness of God. And if it weren't for the atonement and the blood of Jesus Christ that completely covers me and washes me, I would burn up in a nanosecond in front of that holiness. A nanosecond. So praise God for the gospel. But man, it's just election day towards the end of John Piper's letter. Where does that leave me as I face a civic duty on November 3rd? Here's my answer. I do not require anyone to follow me as if I could. Not my wife, not my friends, not my colleagues. This is where he's underestimating his own influence. I will not develop some calculus to determine which path of destruction I will support. That is not my duty. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Why do people get so wigged out about ranking sin? Is it worse to lie about your neighbor or murder your neighbor? Both will separate you from God forever, but which is more egregious? Think about this for a second. The easy answer and the theologically weak answer is, oh, well, they're both the same. Really? Hey, Steve, I saw you lie to your neighbor yesterday, and then today I saw you kill your other neighbor. So, boy, you had a bad couple of days. Well, Lord, was killing him any worse than lying to him? No, not from my perspective. What? Even Jesus talked about it'll be worse for Tyre and Sidon. He said there's going to be kind of a pecking order for judgment. Why? Because some sins are more egregious and do more harm in the here and the now than others. That matters. My calling is to lead people to see Jesus Christ, trust his forgiveness for sins, treasure him above everything in this world, live in a way that shows his all-satisfying value, and help them make it to heaven with love and holiness. That calling is contradicted by supporting either pathway to cultural corruption and eternal ruin. I hope he means that I think he's saying pointing people to Christ is contradicted by me supporting either Trump or Biden. So is he going to write somebody in? It sure doesn't seem like it, does it? You may believe that there are kinds of support for such pathways that do not involve such a contradiction, such as an undermining of authentic Christian witness. You must act on what you see. I can't see it. That is why I said my way need not be yours. When I consider the remote possibility that I might do any good by endorsing the devastation already evident in the two choices before me, Trump and Biden, I am loath to undermine my calling and the church's mission to stand for Christ's exalting faith and hope and love. With a cheerful smile, I will explain to my unbelieving neighbor why my allegiance to Jesus set me at odds with death, death by abortion and death by arrogance. See, he's conflating the two again. I will take him to Psalm 139 and Romans 1. And if he's willing, I will show him how abortion and arrogance can be forgiven because of Christ. And I will invite him to become an exile, to have a kingdom that will never be shaken, even when America is a footnote in the archives of the new creation. All right, I'm with you there. Okay? I'm with you there. But all the other stuff, hey, Steve, it's equally as egregious to vote for a boastful, sometimes lying, arrogant person like Donald Trump and Joe Biden, who appears to be a criminal for a long time, but set that aside, has been a staunch supporter of abortion and now even recently appeared to give his consent to an 8 or 9 or 10-year-old kid making a decision to get a sex change. Whereas facts, if we believe in science, Mr. Biden, 88% of kids that struggle with gender identity, gender confusion, come out of that when they finished puberty. So a rough personality and treating people poorly sometimes and a rough way of communicating and killing babies, it's all the same. No, sir. It is not. Forget trying to make ourselves popular. We should be above reproach, me too, especially. And we all have work to do on that, do we not? I know I do. But goodness gracious. Forget, hey, we got to make it easy for the lost to come here. Do you believe in your ability to lead people to Christ or the power of the Holy Spirit? John 6:44. Nobody comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. You want to bait the hook or get rid of the hook? You're putting that on yourself. And pastor, Christian, friend, brother, sister, you don't have that power. Preach the word, share the gospel, leave the results up to God. God help us all on all this stuff. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.